Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 226, recorded on October 5th, 2014. Enjoy!
You for it.
All right, then it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing really well. And from the tone of your voice, I bet you are too.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. I'm going to get out of this hot home of mine after this and go to the beach.
You don't have AC, right?
No.
Me neither.
I mean, I have a thing that'll go in a window, but we have the wrong type of windows, so it's not
like
really...
Your windows are made of stone?
That's not
called
a window.
I'm guessing they open in the wrong direction.
They open in the wrong direction, yes. Although I guess I could get...
You can get one of those little adapters. Check on it in like Amazon.
I'm sure I can. I mean, I could probably even rig an adapter.
Yeah, do you have duct tape?
I'm supposed to be an engineer, right? yeah, duct tape.
There you go.
Yeah, don't you want to do like rocket science? Don't you have to like be like all Apollo 13 and like figure out how to like make an air scrubber from a coffee can and some diapers and
heck yeah,
duct tape.
I don't think they had coffee cans.
Oh no, we
there.
Can't use this diaper. It has the Velcro instead of the sticky tape. We're doomed.
And that is how Apollo 13 was made. and of course, you're Adam Christensen from the MacCast.
Yes, I'm here.
In case I...
And I'm going to get warm too.
Yes.
In my little closet studio.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the weather is trying to set California on fire just by sheer heating.
That happened this week here, unfortunately. It always happens.
Does that doesn't actually happen that way though, right?
No,
I guess the heat
somebody
will...
throws a cigarette out their car window and lights the hillside on fire.
Yeah, those jackasses.
Yep. So Adam, you're stuck in your
arson.
Studio.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, or arson. Yeah. So you're stuck in your studio. You're going to be shedding layers.
Yes.
To try and stay cool.
I already took my shoes off.
Strip podcasting.
And yeah, I figure even though I don't need to undress, by the time this show's over, I'll be naked.
That's how it usually goes. Okay, so moving to the stuff. iOS. Apple has ceded iOS 8.1 to developers.
And, I haven't grabbed it yet.
I just grabbed it. I haven't played with it a whole lot yet. So there are a few different
things. Is it the working version? Is that they're calling this one the one that works?
You mean as opposed to iOS 8? Yeah. I haven't had enough time with it to see if it is the working
version. I
haven't
had that many. I have had more problems with iOS 8, I think, than other updates I've had in the past, but it hasn't been awful, but it's been funky.
Here's one that I like. Recently added has been changed to camera roll. And actually, that was the one thing.
Is it just a label thing, though? Does it like still go into the camera app and not? Because I mean, the deal is when you snap a photo now in the camera app, you only have that one photo in that little box down in the lower left, right?
Yeah.
If you want to go to the rest of your photos, you tap on.
No, they've moved it back to the how it was in iOS 7. I'm looking
okay,
at it right
so
now.
Okay, so you actually can flip through.
All everything
the
ever
that you've taken in the camera app.
Yeah, anything that's been pushed to the camera roll, be it taken via the camera or saved to your camera roll, there is now a camera roll, and my photo stream is now separated out again.
You know, I'm really indifferent about, or not indifferent. I'm really conflicted about that.
Yeah,
I wasn't having any issues.
I hated
the new way.
Right. And I'm not conflicted.
I mean, I could never find anything anyhow. It was always confusing. So now I just know, okay, I'll look in here and everything's probably there.
I'm conflicted about how to feel about Apple backpedaling on everything.
Well, okay.
It feels like the wrong Apple to me. Like they used to make these decisions and go, dude, tough. We did this. Live with it, you know?
And in many
now
cases, sure.
They're doing this thing where like, oh, we're sorry, we messed up, we shouldn't have done that.
Well, I think
you can have it back the old way, all you people who complained.
I think it's important for, I mean, the when Apple did those sorts of things, it was during the Steve Jobs era where the higher ups were more used to making those tough decisions, and by that I mean Steve, you know, being at the top of that chain, making a lot of those decisions.
Right,
and
he said,
tough.
"I like it this way, and everybody else can do it my way." Or
right, but Steve
get
had
another computer.
Steve understood. I think probably had a more. Well, he certainly had more experience, so he understood what would and wouldn't work. And I think Tim Cook's administration is still trying to feel that out.
Wrong.
No.
Because Steve wasn't implementing the stuff.
Obviously not. But he was steering the ship.
Right. And Tim can steer the ship too. But it's just, you know, if we start moving down this path where it's designed by committee and the committee is the customers, that's a really bad path.
Yeah, I agree.
And not where I want to go.
I think that kind of goes back to the idea of the discussion that we were talking about last week, which was whether or not it was a good idea for them to expand the lineup of screen sizes for the phone, etc. Obviously, there's a lot of people out there who want that. But of course, for a long time, the decision was made that it would just be the one screen size and that would work best for most people. And expanding, providing more choice is certainly good. But I think that they need to come up with the happy medium between too much choice and not enough choice. And I think they're still trying to feel that out.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, here's part of that reason I'm conflicted too, is I'm starting to feel like, you know, they did a public beta. Well, they're doing public beta for Yosemite, so maybe they're trying to get around that. But, you know, this stuff should have been figured out in the beta period. And if people were complaining or it wasn't somehow ready, then it shouldn't have been shipped. And it's just starting to feel like, one, iOS 8's got some really nasty bugs. Stuff's getting out the door that's not finished and not ready. Mm-hmm. And I don't like it. I think it's not a good feeling.
Well, I think one of the worst things that they've done with iOS 8 is they have iCloud Drive in there as a beta, as well as the photos. How does that work?
Yeah, all photos? iCloud Drive. Apple should never have turned that on for the public.
Absolutely not. I mean, if you just look at it from the standpoint of people don't have Yosemite on their Macs, or for the most part, they probably don't. And maybe you could make the argument, well, there is the public beta out there, but
most people don't want to run beta software.
Yeah, I think it's a bad idea.
And a lot of people don't know what beta really means.
No, they don't, and they especially don't understand what happens when you're on a beta. You take up responsibility of not just looking at it and playing with it and then just telling your friends that it's crap. You have to actually provide feedback, and people don't even get that. And if they do think that providing feedback is something they should do, they go to YouTube and type it into a comment on YouTube where nobody's looking and you just look like a fool. You need to actually use the feedback procedures that Apple has, which is going to their developer feedback site and providing actual feedback, bug reports, etc. And that's how stuff gets done. That's how they get that. I mean, yeah, Apple has their, their control room or tiger team or whatever they call it, where they're sitting around a conference table monitoring Twitter. But that's really inefficient. Anyway, so moving back to iOS 8.1, we talked about the photos. The iBooks icon now matches the promotional images, which I'm sure everybody is super pumped about. Did you guys even notice that? The difference?
Nope.
Between, yeah, so now it's you know how it is in the new Safari? The bookmarks icon is a slightly more, it has a more swoosh, a higher angle on the pages. Now it looks like that on the iBooks icon. Yay. I like this one. So there's, I think this is pretty good, and I hadn't really noticed it, but now essentially every single app, and I say essentially, I think it is any app that has either settings of its own that the developer has elected to put into the settings app, or has requested access to notifications or location or camera, etc., you can just go to any of those apps in the settings app. So like jump in a settings app, tap on an app, and then you can see, you know, Evernote has, it says, allow Evernote to access location, calendars, notifications, background, app refresh. So all of those iOS services that that are requested when you first open an app, you can find all those for each app. It's separated out into a much higher level kind of thing where you can see it all. You don't have to jump around between, you know, location and then go to calendars and then notifications. You can see it all right there and get an idea of what's going on with those apps to make sure that everything is as you assume it is.
This is inside the settings for the app. So if I go to settings, Evernote.
Yes, the settings app and then go to Evernote.
I can now toggle on or off everything that it's asked for permission for from right there.
Yes.
Is it
That's
still,
pretty cool.
Is it still in the other areas as well? Like, can I still go to location
services? I think it is. Yeah, that would make sense.
Again, another thing that, to me, seems to overly complicate everything. Right? I think this way is much better. What you're describing is much better.
Maybe they should dump the other way of doing it. And you're right. Again, this is not a very Apple way, and that's one of those things that I've noticed over the years, is they provide one way or another, not both.
Right. And when you start providing more than one, then it just gets confusing. It's like, wait, where am I supposed to go? And then you get people who will go turn it on in one place and then turn it off in the other place and not realize what they did, that, you know, that sort of thing starts happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's nice that it'll make it easier for discovery, but, you know, at the same time, having it multiple places makes it less discoverable or
potentially
too discoverable. I don't know what the
confusing.
Right
it makes it confusing.
Yeah.
It's confusing. That's what it is.
Yeah. That feels very Microsofty. That was one of the things I always hated about Windows, was like there was like 27 ways to do the same thing.
Yep.
And like finding it was like impossible anyway.
Yeah, I'm going to send them feedback on that one.
Good.
But other people should too. It always helps to have more than one person requesting the same thing. So, what else do we have here? I looked at that. iOS 8.1. Oh, there are hidden settings for Apple Pay, which makes sense, and references to Touch ID support for the iPad. So there's, if you are a tricky developer, you can somehow, I would imagine this was enabled using the simulator, not an actual iOS device, because you can't really change those types of settings there. But it has been found that there's a settings pane for Apple Pay in Passbook. So doing all the things, you know, adding cards, billing address, shipping address, etc.
Yeah, typically they dig in and they look at like strings, like reference strings, or not reference strings, but strings that would be used within the app.
Use
those to determine what new features and functionality are coming.
Mm-hmm.
Neither of these things are really surprising, right?
No, not at all. Yeah, it's completely expected that we're going to see Touch ID on an iPad for sure. Now, here's a bug. Speaking of bugs, iOS 8, this is not an 8.1. This is the current version. If you use the reset all settings option, which is one less than the nuke and pave option, I guess it's not really nuke and pave, but you're certainly nuking your entire user folder when you use the erase all, what is it, content and settings? I think that's how it goes. But this is one less. This is just erase all settings. So theoretically, you should keep your apps, your media, data, etc. That will be maintained.
I like how you said theoretically.
Yeah, theoretically. Yeah, so the big explosion erase everything is erase all content and settings. So erase or reset all settings, shouldn't do that. But it nukes all iCloud Drive stuff. Going back to iCloud Drive issues.
iCloud Drive, or I thought it was iCloud Documents. Documents in the cloud. Is it Documents in the cloud or iCloud Drive?
I think it's Documents in the cloud.
I should get some clarification on that. I don't.
Okay,
remember.
So in according to Mac Rumors, in our own testing, using reset all settings, deleted all iWork documents stored in iCloud Drive. on the iPhone and on iCloud.com.
Okay, that makes more sense then. So if you haven't upgraded to iCloud Drive, this would not bite you in the butt.
That's what I would imagine.
But, you know, I think upgrading to iCloud Drive at this point...
It's a bad idea at this point.
Yeah, you're simply biting yourself in the butt, regardless of whether or not you have to do the reset.
It's real... I'm really bummed that they're providing that as an option. I mean, they... At the beginning, when you update your device or you open up a new device with iOS 8 on it, it says, would you like to upgrade to iOS 8 or iCloud Drive? And that's not something you should provide to people, because they're just going to say yeah without even reading it. They just say, okay, go.
Yes, it was a stupid move on Apple's part.
Yeah, irresponsible move.
Now, can you roll back from iCloud Drive? You probably can't, can you? You can't revert your iCloud to documents in the cloud? So you can actually access your stuff on your Mac.
Nope. No going back.
Yeah. That's not a good idea. Not good.
Your documents all get moved physically to another server within iCloud. And I don't think there's a way to get back into the old documents in the cloud.
So that's a giant bucket of awesome right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't look... I just searched for how do I revert. It doesn't look like there are...
Yeah, there's just one KB article and it says ha ha ha.
Exactly. So, here's one. Yosemite, the GM, now supports... it has support for SMS forwarding, which is what we currently... do not have that. We have the phone forwarding, so you can take a phone call on your iPad and look insane, which is awesome. It is pretty convenient, especially if you're on your iPad in the other room and your iPhone is somewhere else, not handy. You're just sitting there doing your thing, and then suddenly your iPad says, "Hey, you've got a phone call," and then you can answer it.
You can answer it.
Yeah. So that's pretty handy, and you'll get the same handy feature when you get SMS forwarding. Now, I still have not figured out... I would imagine that this is not dependent on the Bluetooth stuff, right? So the continuity, some aspects of continuity depend on having Bluetooth LE, the right version of it, on your Mac, right? So if you want to do the, you know, transfer from a mail message to... on your iPad to your Mac, you have to have the special Bluetooth LE. This seems like it goes through the internet. Seems like it goes through the iMessage servers. So even if your phone is not on the same network as your Mac or your iPad, it seems as though it's all going to be spread out, as you would expect. But, I mean, I haven't used it. Have either of you used this feature yet?
I have tried, but none of my SMS chats are showing up on my Yosemite Mac.
Okay. So you're on, but do you have 8.1, iOS 8.1?
Oh, that's right. I forgot. I haven't had time to go to 8.1 yet. That would explain all of it right there.
There you go.
And frankly, you know, for me, I don't know. There's like maybe two people in the world that are Green Bubble friends. For me,
depends on how much you like them.
I test it with, huh?
Depends on how much you like them.
Yeah, I mean, I get everything almost exclusively in iMessage now.
Yeah.
So I've always gotten all my texts on all my devices.
Yeah, it would be pretty handy for me because my lady has a suck phone that she enjoys. She doesn't want an iPhone at this point. Leave her. Yeah, I'll let her know you said that. So yeah, that's in there and I haven't played with it, but hopefully it will be as nice as we're expecting it to be. And Apple, of course, released OS X Yosemite Gold Master to developers. And I guess that's good because we get the continuity stuff soon. Probably sometime this month, right?
Can someone explain to me how to make that work?
Continuity.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have the right Bluetooth on your Mac, and I don't think you
have
do.
I have a MacBook Air.
Okay. How old?
I don't know, like the second generation one.
It's a yeah. So you have one of the SSD versions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The SSD versions all have new enough Bluetooth.
I would think, right?
I'm looking at a chart right now. So your MacBook Air mid 2011 and later.
Yes.
You're mid 2011.
For sure.
And it's not working.
No, I haven't seen it work.
You have to make sure the checkbox is on.
I've checked on everything. It just doesn't work.
Okay. I know it's definitely not going to work for me. So MacBook Pro.
What about my MacBook Pro early 2011?
Nope. You have to have a mid 2012.
Dude.
Yeah. Bummer.
What kind of super special Bluetooth do you need?
Bluetooth 4.0 LE.
Low energy. Got to have the low energy.
Yeah. But there are, so there's a little, you know, those little Bluetooth adapters you can stick into the USB that's just sticks out a hair further than the actual port. Someone has found that, and I'll see if I can dig up the URL for that device. I haven't actually been able to find where you can buy one, but it's a fairly cheap thing. You can plug it in your Mac and with like a terminal tweak. Actually, it might not even be a terminal tweak. You can maybe even go into settings, and it's one of those deep Bluetooth settings for Macs that only have two Bluetooth adapters, and you can switch your primary over, and then it'll work.
So I thought I read an article that said if you look at your Bluetooth info and system information, what you need to see is LMP version 0x6E or something like that. Is that right?
I don't know.
And that was the thing on my Air. It was 0x6, but not the little extra. I don't know if the E is critical or not.
I don't know. But I think that it probably tells you. So if you have Yosemite on that Mac, you can go into about this Mac and either look at the Bluetooth settings, or there might even be an entry for continuity or handoff, and you should be, I think it's probably in Bluetooth, and you'll see a thing that says handoff, yes, no. Yeah, here it is. So you go under the Bluetooth category. So it'll say Bluetooth low energy supported, yes, continuity supported, yes, and AirDrop supported, yes.
In the
in
system information, yep. Under Bluetooth?
Yep, under Bluetooth. Right below name and address for your Bluetooth adapter.
Okay.
I'll put this in the show notes.
Check that out.
There's a
that
link
would be a good
with
thing.
A whole bunch of stuff.
Why the crap?
So check it out.
Does it take such a new machine? I guess low energy. That's the answer right there.
Yep. So, let's see. Here's something kind of surprising to me anyway. According to, and don't laugh, DigiTimes. I didn't laugh. 60% of total iPhone 6 devices are the Plus.
Yep.
Now, just because DigiTimes has a history of
being silly,
doesn't mean that everything that they publish is wrong. It just means that we need to look really close at what they're publishing and figuring out what it really means.
Yeah. Because they do have certain sources in
Here's my thing on that, because a lot of people seem shocked by that, like, that's a high number. That's exactly the way I expected it to be in these first few months. And I fully expect that long term, like 3 months from now, it'll be entirely flipped, if not more to the extreme. Because
that wouldn't surprise me at all.
You got to think about who's buying right now. It's nerds like us and people who are geeks, and you want the thing that is more different or newer, the newest of the new things. And the 6 Plus is that thing, right? It's got all the extra bells and whistles with the optical image stabilization on the camera and the bigger screen and the higher resolution and the bigger battery life, and it's just massive. So there's a whole, you know, shiny factor that those early adopters go for. But I think it'll pan out to where the majority of customers are going to have the 6.
Yeah.
Because that, yeah, I mean, that's sort of the device, I think, when people who aren't nerds just get to their contract upgrade and it's, oh, it's time to get my new iPhone, I think you're going to find that they're going to opt more for the 6 than the 6 Plus. And I just, the other thing I'll sort of point to as, you know, not hard evidence, but just sort of, I can never pronounce this stupid word,
anecdotal.
See, I left the C out. Anecdotal evidence is Galaxy versus Note phones. It's going to be about the same ratio, right?
Sure.
So whatever that ratio is on the Android side, it's going to happen on the Apple side. And when I'm out and about, I see a few people with Notes, but by far and large, I see a lot more Galaxy, you know, whether it's the 3, 4, or 5. Doesn't really matter. Usually the 4, Galaxy 4, Galaxy... They're on a 5 now, right? There's a Galaxy 5.
Yep.
Yeah, so... Yeah, I think early adopters, yeah, absolutely. So I wasn't shocked when I heard that number. Fully expected that.
It would be very interesting to see a breakdown of sales between the 5S and the 6 and the 6 Plus. But Apple's never going to do that.
No.
Historically, they've never broken that down. They say iPad sales, iPhone sales. Right? And we were kind of curious about that with the 5C as well, and we never got that, right?
No, we didn't.
Yeah. Although, to be fair, I have seen a number of 5Cs in the wild. Certainly,
I see a lot of 5Cs in the wild.
And I think the 5C is for those people who just want an iPhone. I don't care what it is, just give me an iPhone. And they work quite well.
Yeah, they do.
Let's see here. Here's a bit of interesting information for some of our listeners. There was one listener who wrote in about trying to take advantage of the iPhone 5 battery replacement program. And it turned out that they couldn't get it replaced. They brought it to the Apple store and they went to check it out, make sure it was eligible and ready to go. And as it turns out, because they had a third-party screen replacement, because they had a cracked screen, they said, no, we can't do that for you. However, they have changed their stance on that. So now if you have a third-party display in your iPhone 5 and your battery is eligible for the replacement program, you can now get your battery replaced. So that's good news for some people in that situation.
Now, if you have gone into your Apple Store before this policy went into effect and were told no, can you go back, or are they going to tell those people, nope, you missed your chance?
I would think that you can go in there and just say, hey, I have battery problems, help me out. I think I should get the replacement battery. I would imagine 75% of the time the genius is going to be like, okay, cool, no problem. But you may
just don't
have
be a
to,
jerk when you go in.
Absolutely. Yeah. Be cool with them. They're happy people. They want to help you out and get you out the door as fast as possible. Don't be a jerk. But, you know, you may have that 25% of the geniuses who are either haven't heard of the new rule or for some reason want to be mean. Just say, I think that I should be able to because of the rule, and just quote the rule.
Mm. Yeah.
And sometimes that doesn't work either. And you can call, customer relations. They can make something happen. But I don't think you'll have problems. As long as you're eligible for the battery replacement.
Yep, there you go.
What was interesting is I always thought Apple's policy was, you know, you can have other parts and repairs put in. It's like the same thing with memory in your Mac, right?
Sure. As long as it doesn't affect the functionality of the part that needs to be replaced.
Correct.
And that also is a fantastic argument. I remember I had a third gen iPod and I had a battery issue with that. And they, for some reason, wouldn't replace my battery, even though I was within warranty, because I had some scratches. It was a really weird situation. As if they'd never seen an iPod with scratches on it before. But basically,
scratches on the case?
Yeah, yeah.
Did they think maybe you had tried to open it?
Maybe, but honestly, I told them, you know, look, a cosmetic imperfection or damage is not going to affect the functionality of a battery, and therefore shouldn't
right. No, that's
matter.
What I'm saying. The only rationale I could see is if they somehow suspected that you opened the device up.
Right, yeah. So, there you go. Let's see here. Verizon, AT&T, and Sprint have all done this thing where they're increasing their data allotments. So if you have a 12, now you have 15. If you have 16, now you have 30, 20 to 40, 30 to 60, 40 to 80, 50 to 100, which is cool, except for those people who didn't already have crazy big data allotments. So they didn't do anything for anybody below 12, and I think it kind of goes the same with AT&T and Sprint. I was just looking at Verizon numbers there, but yeah, so it's even higher actually with AT&T. So if you have had 15, now you have 30, and it goes up from there. So they're basically doubling the data. So for those of you with normal human being,
when I have 6, I get nothing.
Yeah,
thanks AT&T.
Yeah, thanks AT&T.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat that you are, Adam.
You guys both on 6.
Yeah, thanks, AT&T.
I'm on a 6 family share.
Okay, yeah, yep. I'm on a 4 single person thing. And actually, it was kind of cool because the other day we took a road trip to Fresno. Not exciting. We were picking up something from Craigslist, but and I don't ever want to go back, by the way. It was kind of frightening. But I digress. So I had Madeline in the car, and she wanted to watch some Netflix. And she asked if she could use the data from my phone. And initially I said, oh, no, I don't have unlimited anymore. But then I said, hang on a sec. I might be at the end of my billing cycle. So I checked my what I had left. And it was basically the last day of my billing cycle. And I had like 75% of my data left. And I said, use it all up.
Yeah, because it don't roll over.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I was thinking about that, too. That's I wonder in a few years if we're going to start seeing rollover.
Rollover data.
Yeah.
I would like that.
It'd be very nice. I think we'd have to wait until T-Mobile starts doing that.
I keep hoping that they get that technology to the point where it's just everybody's just unlimited.
Wait until like 2030.
I mean, we got to get there eventually, right?
Yeah.
Like the infrastructure
will be T-Mobile like, will be leading the charge on that. Don't you worry. So whenever T-Mobile does it...
Sprint is, right? Doesn't Sprint do unlimited anyway?
Yeah, Sprint does it, but nobody uses Sprint because their service is terrible in most places in the country.
So we need to wait for T-Mobile to do it, and then AT&T and Verizon will begrudgingly follow along.
Exactly.
And AT&T will probably issue a statement like they did for the Wi-Fi calling. They're like, well, you don't really need it, but whatever. I guess we'll give it to you next year.
Gosh.
Jeez, people.
Yeah. Sounds exactly
awesome.
Right. And this is interesting. So we talked about how Verizon was planning to throttle the unlimited LTE customers due to, I think they were citing network optimization as their justification for doing this. And then, of course, Tom Wheeler from the FCC said, this isn't cool, and sent letters to them, et cetera, et cetera. So now they've reversed course on that idea, and I'm not sure they throttled anybody at this point. I think they had just announced that they were doing it, but so now for those of you who have unlimited data on Verizon, you're cool. No throttling for you. And I wonder if that's going to change for AT&T users as well, because AT&T has been doing that for years.
That's true. I hope it changes. I mean, the throttling thing is kind of crappy.
It is. Yeah. Although, except in cases where, and I wonder if you can tell me if AT&T and Verizon does this, but T-Mobile, so if you have the 4 or 5 gig a month allotment and you use up 5 gigs, then you just throttle down to edge, which makes sense because it's much better than getting shut off, you know. Is that how AT&T and Verizon does it?
I don't know. I've never gone over my cap.
Okay.
They just add on. You just pay another whatever the price is, and then you get
they just charge
gig.
You. They just charge you more, or they just throttle you down.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, they just charge you more. You pay for extra data.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it actually works out really great. That's why I only have a 6 gigabyte plan, because to jump to the next plan is $10 more a month. So I go to 10 gigabytes, right? But then it's $10 a month, $120 a year. I tend to use between 3 and 5 gigs of data in a normal month, but there's occasional months when I will go over that.
Yeah. So it's cheaper for you to pay the extra on those months.
Yeah, because it's $10 for another gig when I go over. It'll be $10 that one month for an extra gig of data.
Interesting.
So I actually like it that way. If you're smart about it, you know, then you don't have to go
to watch your plan. You have to watch it. I would prefer that you have to call in and be like, "Hey, I want some high-speed data," and then charge me $10.
Well, they send you a text message, or an email at 65%. Then when you're at 75%, and then when you're at 90%, and then when you go over.
I see. Okay.
So you have like two warnings before they charge you.
That's pretty good.
So you can either cut back your usage or just go over.
I just prefer defaulting to Edge. I think that's happier. Because then you can make the conscious decision to up it. But yeah, you learn to live with it. So what do you guys think about the iPad Pro? iPad Air Pro with the 12.9-inch screen? Because there are more reports that Samsung is supplying the panels for the 12.9-inch iPad. I guess it wouldn't be an Air Pro. It'd be a Pro.
I'm betting it's really going to happen. And I'm also betting it's an iPad size that I don't need.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know what customer that's serving.
Well, okay. So in my mind, I'm thinking if Apple is really going to do this, they have to sweeten the deal. They have to make it make sense to have a giant screen, right? Because iOS, as it is now, scaled up to the size of a MacBook Air, doesn't really provide that much more functionality, right? It's just bigger. And the iPad is already good enough, I think. So I think they need to, at the very least, split screen, sure. And we've seen the idea of split screen in iOS, little bits of information here and there. And I think we even saw someone. Yeah, there was an example of tweaking some settings in the simulator and getting a rudimentary split screen going. I think we need to see something like that. I think we also need to see a better input method. Either better support for Styli or a stylus that comes with it.
No, it's funny you go down that route, though. I'm thinking with the Pro, though, Apple may introduce like their own keyboard case.
See, I don't see Apple doing that either. Just look at the Surface, and you know Apple has looked at the Surface.
Yeah.
And the stigma that goes along with that whole setup. Here's a tablet where you need to have a keyboard. So it's really a laptop.
Right.
Just buy a laptop.
Yeah, exactly. And that doesn't make sense.
Again, that's why I don't see the space that it fits into, but it seems to be what they're going for with all these rumors. I mean, well, why else would you do that size if it's not to...
Well, they have to come up with a use case for
it. An iPad that truly replaces your
MacBook Air.
Your MacBook Air. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Apple really wants to cater to the enterprise market with a bigger screen, and they'll probably need a bigger screen for.
I'm just trying to you think it's if you think the push is coming from enterprise, I can buy that. Then
I think that that there's this feeling, right or wrong, that a bigger screen will sell better in the enterprise because then it can be used as a full-on replacement for laptops in many cases. And I think that it will have some of these extra features like the split screen. Mm-hmm. And then this will be something that IBM can push through their enterprise channels.
And you don't think they'd want a really killer keyboard case to go along with that?
Yeah, but there is that. But then we have everything that goes along with the Surface, where it's like, why are you buying a tablet where the first thing you have to do is buy the keyboard that goes with it so you can actually use it?
Well, you certainly don't have to, and it's been evidenced by the fact that the current iPads don't need keyboards. Most people don't.
No, on the iPad you don't need a keyboard, but on the Surface you really need to have a keyboard to get the most out of that device. On an iPad you don't. It's just right. For many people,
well, that wouldn't change. I wouldn't think that would change with an iPad Pro either.
Yeah, I don't think it would change with an iPad Pro either.
But I think there's a lot of people who do like using keyboards with their iPads that would appreciate one thoughtfully designed by Apple that sort of works really well.
You do have to consider the fact that, again, with a bigger screen, it's harder to type, even in portrait mode.
That's
true.
There
is the split keyboard, but I never use that because it's just...
I hadn't even thought about that too. Yeah, it'd be a nightmare to thumb type on a 12.9 inch screen.
But with the split keyboard, you could get it done. But I'm not a big fan of the split keyboard.
Yeah, see that's why this iPad Pro just doesn't make any sense. I don't see where it fits. It doesn't seem like it has a broad appeal.
I don't think it does. I think it certainly has so far less broad appeal than the iPhone 6 Plus, for example.
Right.
Right? And by the way, I think we're probably going to see it called the iPad Plus.
Oh, that would make sense. It would fit with the current naming.
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't think you're going to see nearly as many people going out and saying, yeah, I'm going to get the big iPad, because they're going to say, why?
Yeah. I mean, I am probably not going to upgrade my iPad, which is funny because I think I've upgraded every iPad that I've ever bought so far and every iPhone that I've bought so far.
Yeah.
But I don't know, unless they come out and wow me with something that I wasn't expecting. I mean, I'd really like to have Touch ID on my iPad.
Definitely.
But I can wait a year. You know, I don't know that I have to have it this year.
Yeah,
I love my iPad Air. It's a great device. So I don't see an incentive to spend more money to replace it.
Yep.
And I've never done that before.
I skipped the 4, but that's because the differences between the 3 and the 4 for me were so minimal.
Oh, I guess I did skip the 4. I skipped the 4 too, but I skipped the 4 because I bought a mini.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I bought a mini. So, so I had a 3 and a mini and then got the Air and
did the same thing.
And there's going to have to be something very compelling in the next iPad for me to upgrade.
Right.
I'd love to have Touch ID, though.
Touch ID would be awesome.
Yeah. But
it's not enough.
Thankfully, I think that it hasn't seemed like the rumors are pointing toward iPad mini and iPad Pro, right? It seems like we're going to be getting an additional screen size to the lineup. So it's going to be mini, Air Plus, or mini Air Pro. So we won't have to make the decision between the super small and the super big.
Like, I'm thinking you're right on the Plus, though. It's probably going to be iPad Plus.
Yeah.
Now, is this an indication that Apple is starting to cater to just consumer wishes as opposed to creating the products they think are right for us?
Exactly what I was saying earlier. And I don't like it.
I think they're going to have to make their way through this, because they're going down the slightly wrong path with it, at least right now with certain things. And I think they're feeling it out and getting an better understanding of why that's not a great idea. Why we're not why the Performa days were not so good.
What makes me happy is they only seem to be doing this on the mature products. I don't see a lot of that happening with the Apple Watch. No, seriously. I mean,
well, it's not even out yet, dude.
But I don't think there's a lot of things that people are saying or had been saying or wanting with the Apple Watch, and I think Apple just built the thing that they wanted to build.
They're not fragmenting it with features. They're basically saying there's a bigger one and a smaller one, and if you really want the cosmetically fancy one, you can get that. But there's no functionality difference.
Right.
But then again, you are still seeing two sizes.
Compromising on pricing, and, you know, I think we're going to be... you know, pretty shocked. It'll be interesting because, you know, there has been a lot of feedback since they sort of gave the preview. And so it'll be interesting to see, and it'll be real telling to see if there's a lot of changes before the final release that seem to be made because people were making comments or, you know, complaining about this, that, or the other.
I think we might. It's a good observation. I think we will see a few changes.
I would be surprised if we didn't see changes.
Well, and I think there's going to be a lot of functionality revealed that they didn't talk about.
Most
too.
Certainly, yeah. And I think that it's kind of interesting seeing normal people, non-Apple employees that seem to be carrying around Apple Watches at the fashion show in Paris. Right?
Cool.
Right? Am I wrong? There are a couple normal non-Apple employees carrying these things around, and I wonder what they've been told. They may have been said, okay, this thing basically just tells time, don't try to do anything else with it. Or maybe they've removed a lot of the apps. Maybe they only have the apps on there that work. That's certainly possible. And I'm sure they'll be taking them back as soon as all the paparazzos are done taking pictures.
Of course. Yeah, my guess is the real reason those people are wearing the watches is because Apple wanted them to be seen.
Marketing, yeah.
Most definitely, yeah.
And they picked people very specifically, and then those people have agreed to use the watches only in the way Apple tells them to.
Yeah. And for what it's worth, Recode has pinned down October 16th as the next Apple event. I believe it's going to be at the town hall. We're going to see very likely new iPads, possibly Retina Max, and OS X Yosemite.
Release date for Yosemite, right?
Yeah.
I think that's a totally reasonable date.
Yeah, yeah, makes sense.
I was figuring either that week or the following week.
Mm-hmm. And last but not least, this one's really useful. It's a new tool from Apple. You just go to, where is it? It's iCloud.com/activation lock. Is that what it is? Yeah, iCloud.com/activation lock. And so for those of you looking to purchase a used or just an iOS device from a third party, this thing is going to be extremely useful. So what it does is, of course, if you can buy a phone from eBay, an iPhone, and get it at your house, and ta-da, it was stolen, or they wanted to hoodwink you, and it's locked with activation lock. So this tool,
or they forgot to unlock it.
Or they forgot to, certainly. Yeah, it's certainly possible that someone just forgot. But this tool will allow you to check the status of activation lock before you make your purchase. So you type in either an IMEI, which is the unique modem number for iPhones, or you can type in the serial number. I believe that works for both iPhones and iPads, mm-hmm. And iPod touches. And you type in the little CAPTCHA, hit go, and it'll let you know if activation lock is on there. Simple as that.
No. Do you see the problem?
Well, if I was going to scam you, I would give you the wrong number.
Yeah. Right? Say, yeah.
Yeah. I'd give everyone the same serial number.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is that. I had not thought of that.
Yeah. Well, and so you think, oh, I'll make them to send me a picture. Well, they just send you the picture of the one that they activation unlocked, right?
Right.
I mean, it's better. It's better than what you had before, which was nothing. And I think most people are, you know, inherently honest. But, you know, if you've been getting scammed, this is pretty easy to bypass.
Right. Yeah.
Right. But it is a tool that helps keep honest people honest. And excuse me, when you are dealing with someone, like, let's say you're meeting someone that's selling an iPhone through Craigslist. You meet at Starbucks. They've got the iPhone in hand.
Right.
You type in the serial number of the phone that they're holding up.
Right.
And it's unlocked. And you're like, okay, great. Let's do this.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess there's that scenario. So you're meeting somebody to pick it up. So if you're getting it through eBay or through the mail, you're kind of still at risk. Another thing I was thinking, though, is, you know, this is nice, but I think Apple needs to take it one step further. There should be an easy way, some easy way to tell right on the phone, right?
If There is, definitely. And I guess that's the weird thing, because so if you're checking this, if you're doing your due diligence and you're going to meet up with the guy at Starbucks from Craigslist and you look at the phone and you type the number into this activation lock deal, you don't have to do it. You can just swipe the thing and see if you
go into settings and see if it's got Find My iPhone turned on, right? Because isn't that how it works?
Oh, right. Yeah, because it's based on Find My iPhone.
Yeah.
Then it's not
activation
locked.
That's a really good point.
Yeah. So this, okay. It's interesting. I'm sure there are use cases for it.
I don't want to kill it because I'm glad that Apple made the tool available.
Definitely.
I think it's going to be handy for some people, but it doesn't solve the larger problem of the fact that if you get sold a device that's activation locked, there's no way to unlock it as not the original owner or not the person that had it.
Yep, there you go.
Interesting. Okay. So that's it. We have iDevice picks now. Jeff, do you want to go first?
Sure. My pick, it's sort of new-ish, but not totally new. And it's StarWalk 2 on the iPhone.
Yeah.
I've been a StarWalk fan for a long time. And so I've been playing with StarWalk 2 just recently, and it's awesome. I like that for the average person, where they don't want to see a lot of extra stuff, it's not there. And then for everyone else, that's a free download. And then if you want a lot of the other stuff, like you want all the satellites and then I think there's some extra detail you can get for celestial objects, those are in-app purchases. But you know, once you've bought the app, the stuff's there, and then the rest of what most everyone else will want is a free download on top of that. I thought that was a nice touch. And it looks fantastic on my iPhone 6.
So you've used StarWalk, the original.
Yes.
Right? What do you get on top of it?
Well, the thing that I've been playing with just recently and enjoying is the VR sort of view, where it uses your camera and you point your camera at the sky. And so you're seeing your actual sky, and then it overlays the star data onto the actual image, as opposed to just showing you a graphic representation of what the sky should look like for the angle that you're holding your phone.
Now, I thought the current version did that. Or was that more of a calibration thing, and this is more of a you seeing the real data or the real image of the stars through the camera, and then getting the, and then it lines up
And then it lines up the data on top of it. Yes.
Okay, so it's an augmented reality thing.
There we go. Augmented reality, not VR. Augmented reality. That's what I meant.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
That's pretty cool. So it's only $3, right? So.
Yeah, and then the extra data is free on top of that. And then if you want the additional packs, they're like 99 cents a piece. Or if you buy them as a bulk thing, you get a discount.
Cool.
So really, I think that the app plus all the add-ons, it's not even $6.
Nice.
And this is which one again?
StarWalk 2.
I'm trying to remember. I have Star Map. Let's forget.
Yeah, there's another one that's similar. It's let me see here. I think I have it too. Star Guide or Sky Guide. Is that the one you have? That's another one. It's very similar. So, anyway, StarWalk, $3. It's not Star Wars. Yeah, StarWalk 2. Yeah, so check that out. Adam, what is your pick?
My pick is actually a media pick. On iTunes now, there is the Batman 4 film collection. So the original 4 films. And I know a lot of people like don't like the original Tim Burton one. I particularly like it.
Oh, the one with Catwoman and the Penguin?
No, that's Batman Returns. I don't know if
the original Michael Burton Keaton did Batman.
That one. Yeah.
Batman.
Was Jack Nicholson. He played the Joker.
Yeah, Jack Nicholson as the Joker. Michael Keaton as Batman. Tim Burton directed it.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of nostalgia for that one because that came out in the 80s. I was a senior in 89, a senior in high school. I loved that film. A lot of people really like Batman Returns better. And then you have Batman Forever, which is the Jim Carrey as the Joker.
That one was horrible.
I enjoyed that one.
Yeah, and then, of course, there's Batman and Robin.
Horrible, horribler.
But here's the deal. All four of them, the four film collection, are on iTunes right now, $20 in HD, $19.99.
For the entire set?
For the entire set.
Wow. Okay, that's pretty cool.
So if you like those films at all, I think it's a really good deal.
You know, if you really like the first movie and you enjoyed the second movie, then you've already come out ahead.
They're normally $15 a piece.
Mm-hmm.
So if you bought them individually, they would be $15 a piece. So for $5 more, you can have all of them.
Word.
And fill out your Batman collection.
And get that sweet Batmobile, the original.
The original Batmobile was awesome.
Yeah, they have that at Six Flags in Gurnee. So whenever I went, because they have the awesome Batman ride there outside of Chicago, which that thing has been around forever. But it's still an awesome, awesome ride, and they have the Batmobile parked right outside.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Oh, right, man. You get Tommy Lee Jones, Two-Face, you know, on the third movie.
Mm-hmm.
There's some good things.
Tommy Lee Jones was really good in the third movie.
Yeah.
There was some good stuff in the third movie. Just overall, it was like, it wasn't super the campy. First two. Yeah, but by the time you get to the fourth movie, it's like, really, what did I do wrong in a past life to deserve this?
Mr. Freeze, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Arnold, Mr. Freeze.
I'm sure he has some real lame...
You did get Uma Thurman as Poison Ivy.
Yeah. Is that.
Is there any redeeming value in that?
There absolutely is.
Yeah.
Okay.
I
thought it was a great deal, and I scooped him up because I have nostalgia for that stuff.
Yeah, so. Okay, I give you that. You said earlier that you were going to do a media pick. I was not excited, but this is pretty cool. $20.
Yeah, I don't know how long it's going to last either. So, if you're interested? Pick it up while you can.
I'm tempted, but you have DRM on these movies, right? But you can watch them anytime you want.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Batman.
You have an Apple TV and iOS
collection.
Devices.
Do I?
And a Mac, right?
I suppose I do.
I did the whole Plex thing, and ripped my movies and stuff like that, and I was conflicted about, you know, do I continue to buy stuff on iTunes?
You can always, I guess you can DDRM.
There are tools to actually remove the DRM if you want to get them.
Yeah, and it's a lossless thing. You just have to, I think you have to go through Windows to do it.
No,
days.
There's actually Mac software.
What's
a couple people have sent me some tools. If you're interested, I am
interested. Can you throw it out right now? Do you know?
I don't remember what it's called. I always get leery of it because they're always from these shady sites, and I tend to tell people not to go to shady, weird sites and get weird software.
Understandable.
That lets you do illegal things. You know. So I don't.
It's
I've
not
never
illegal
run the software.
To remove DRM.
I haven't done research on it. I have. It is.
Is it?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yep.
The
Digital Millennium Copyright Act. Look it up.
Ooh. I don't follow those rules. I don't play by those rules.
Breaking the law.
I'm not a rule follower.
No, I mean...
You're just a rebel.
Socially, I think you're perfectly within your rights because, again, that law is actually taking away your rights under fair use, which I think is wrong.
Yeah.
But if we're being black and white, yeah, you can't do that kind of stuff. So I generally, you know, I've had to tell these people, that's great. I love that you can do that, but I don't like to talk about it too much publicly because you go to these sites and it's like, you know, some of them you even have to do the whole weird backdoor thing, like go on this forum and then we'll give you the link so that you can buy the, you know, and post this so that we'll give you the links so that you can buy the software.
and then go down this one dark alley, knock on the door three times.
And, exactly. Yeah. It kind of feels like that. And I get why they're doing it. They're doing it because they don't want to get caught and get shut down. You know, you hope. But again, you're living in the shady parts of the internet. And I would hate to recommend something to someone and then find out, oh, by the way, when you installed that thing to take the DRM off your iTunes music, they also, you know, stole your identity.
Ugh. Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just don't know enough about it. I'm not implying that that's what they're doing, but again, you're playing in the shady parts of the internet. Things can happen.
J-Him, that's what I was looking for. That was the original, like...
I'll find it for you,
no
though.
No frills.
You can put it
software.
In the show notes if you want, if I find it.
Yeah, yeah. Let me know. I'll throw it in there. Okay, so anyway, Batman 4 Film Collection, it's $20. Is there a... If you get it in... I know this is a dumb question. Oh, you get iTunes extras, too. But if you buy it in... Can you buy it in SD?
Well, for the same price.
Same. Oh, no, don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that.
And you don't get the extras if you do that. So, yeah, cool. I like it.
All right.
Michael, what's your pick? It is Scribbleboard for iOS 8. And it's a keyboard, which allows you to draw things with your finger and send them to people. And it's as simple as that. I think it's cool. And it's free. So instead of your keyboard, you type the little thing and you get a really nice drawing area. Actually, it's pretty full featured for it, especially for a free app. You can copy to clipboard if you want, or it works directly within the Messages app. It has undo. You can change your brush size. You can change the colors. You can change the background colors. I don't think you can change the geometries or make boxes or circles or anything like that, unfortunately. That may come later. But you do get an eraser. So you basically get the pen. You can change the diameter. You can change the color, change the background color, and you get an eraser. You can change the background color.
How about the background color? Can you change that?
You can change the background color.
Wow.
But not... Thank you. I hate you.
I know.
The one thing about that, though, the background color, can't change it to something specific. You have to just choose from the, like, 10 that they have. So, for those of you who are super concerned about the background color, you may not want this one. But otherwise, you can send...
But everyone else, this is your app.
You can get a head start before the iWatch comes out. You can start sending drawings of dicks right now.
like Dick Sargent.
Right. Dick yeah. Clark.
Dick Clark.
Dick
Van Dyke.
Tricky Dick Nixon. Right?
That's right.
Any other dicks that we can think of?
So there you go. You can do your dick drawings and your dick pics.
Yeah, dick pics use a camera, but yeah. Anyway. So, of course, you can find all of the iPhone pics and our show notes at theiosshow.com, and we will try to get a link to some DRMing stuff in there as well. Review the show on iTunes, tell a friend. Send your feedback to feedback@theiosshow.com. If you have some good software for doing that, for losslessly removing DRM from stuff that you have purchased, like I'm talking Fair Play DRM, send that to feedback@theiosshow.com.
I put you the link in the show notes.
You put me the link into the show notes. Cool. Yep. And I have to figure out how to do that in Skype. Oh, Note Burner. Is that the good one?
Oh, you said it.
Was I not supposed to? That's your policy, not mine.
Yeah, you can say it. That's the app that was recommended to me by someone who used it. And the thing that you were talking about was also recommended, but it's really hard to find and not available.
Yeah.
Not generally available unless you go on tour. And I don't know if it's been updated in a while. It's called Requiem, which is part of J-Him.
Yes, Requiem. That's what I was thinking of. And last time I used it, I had to use it in a Windows emulator. So I had to use it in like Parallels or something. But it works really well. You just kind of drop it in there and it
Well, this other one is supposedly OS X compatible, and the person that I got it from says it does work.
Free
but
trial.
I don't know anything about this company. It's got a funky name. You know, all those sorts of things. It's just like, it looks like a janky Windows website.
Right, right, exactly. I know exactly what you're talking about. It's one of those. Okay, so we'll put a link to that in the show notes. Use at your own risk. I have not used this. Adam, have you used this?
No.
Okay.
I won't, because I'm too paranoid that they're going to, like, I'm going to install this software and it's going to put, you know, like, not malware, but spyware on my machine.
Yeah, use at your own risk. For sure. So there's that. You can find... where are we at? Yeah, so advertising, of course, is handled by Backbeat Media, backbeatmedia.com. Jeff is at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com, at Jay Gamet on Twitter, and TMO Daily Observations, thepodcast.com/podcast. That's the URL, right?
That sounds right.
Okay, yeah, Google. And Adam Christensen at the MacCast, maccast.com, at MacCast on Twitter, and member.maccast.com.
Yep. I just did a huge iOS 8 show.
Yeah.
For MacCast members on tips and tricks. And so if you're looking for all
tips
the goodies
tricks,
inside iOS 8,
check
it was like
out.
An hour and 20 minutes of iOS 8 stuff.
Is there any stuff that we have to buy in there? It's just tips and tricks?
That one was just tips and tricks. I kind of dug into all the new features, and I learned a bunch of cool stuff. So
cool. So we don't have to get our wallets.
I can't remember any of it right now. Otherwise, I'd give you one of the cooler tips.
Give me a teaser.
The good news is there's this podcast out there that you can listen to.
It's been recorded.
Yeah.
It's all in the show notes, too, which are available even to non-members. So if you want to just read through it. But I guess one of the ones is I discovered this by accident. You know the little chat head recents thing that you can do when you go into the fast app switcher?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can see all your recent conversations. You get all the little people's faces.
Mm-hmm.
If you swipe over to the left, you will get your favorites if you've set up any favorites.
Yes.
Kind of hidden over there.
Yeah. And now, is that just iPhone or can you do that on iPad too? Because I think... I didn't see
I would assume you could do it on iPad too. I don't see why it would be limited to iPhone only.
Well, you wouldn't have a phone app to have favorites.
You could still send chats and you can put chat people and FaceTime people in your favorites.
Oh,
you know that, right?
So within the FaceTime app is what you're saying?
Yeah, you can when you add a favorite, when you add favorites, you tell it how you want to communicate with that favorite. And so you can add them as iMessage, you can add them as FaceTime, you could add them as phone number. They're like quick dial numbers, right?
FaceTime.
For different things.
I don't see it, man.
Hmm.
I don't think you can.
Well, that's a bummer.
That's too bad.
Well, here's another one. In Mobile Safari, if you go into the bookmarky thingy.
Uh-huh, bookmarky
right,
thing.
You know, your favorites.
Yep.
And you swipe down. There's a cool button that says display desktop version of a site. So if it's forced you into the mobile version and you need to get out.
Heck yeah. That one I like.
That's a cool tip.
That's a good tip. It's a real good tip.
There you go. Stuff like that.
Awesome.
There's a bunch of stuff like that.
That's awesome.
Two of, you know, an hour and 20 minutes worth.
Two of a bunch.
I got to check it out. Okay. And you can find me at Michael Johnston on Twitter, getappler/Michael, getappler.com/Michael. You can find all my apps there that I like and the ones that I don't like if you want to see those too. And I think that's it for this week on the iOS show. We will see you next time.
An iPod.
An iPod.
An iPod.
An iPod.
An iPod.
A phone.
A phone.
A phone.
An iPod.
An iPod.
An iPod.
An iPod.
A phone.
A phone.
A phone.
And an internet
community.
This
stylus.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus.